Okay, now we can begin. For posterity, I want to thank the Obersteins for their generous sponsorship in honor of Ellie's bar graduation from medical school. Thank you. Now it's on the videotape. Okay. The Pasuk tells us in Baloscha, right at the end of Perek Yud Aleph, really towards the end of the Parsha, we know that once again, the people, this is the famous Parsha of what they call the quail or the slav. This is the people are begging, they're begging for food, and they get all this, so much slav they don't even know what to do with. But of course, it still wasn't enough, and the people were upset, and Hashem gets very upset at them. And the Torah tells us very dramatically, Habasar Odena ben Shinehem. Mamish, they were still chewing, the meat was still in their mouth. Terem Yikares. And they still were killed in that context. Av Hashem Chara Ba'am, Vayach Hashem Ba'am Maka Rabba Mo. There was a terrible plague. Mamish, even as they were eating, they got smoked. The Gemara in Masech Tachulin and Daf Kuf Hei Amud Aleph asks the following kasha. Amar Le'er of Acha Bar Yosef Le'er of Chizda. Basar Shibein Hashinayim Mahu. What is the status of leftover meat? This is Kodem flossing. And for those of us who still don't floss, so you'll have meat stuck between your teeth. This is not Hilchos Mikvah Shiloh, but this, as you know, could be a Hilchos Tefillah Shiloh. But you have the, what is the status of that meat? So the Gemara says, I'll bring you a proof. After all, Kari Alei, after all, our pasuk refers to it as Habasar Odena, that it refers to it as meat, as Rashi points out. Alma Mikri Basar. The fact that the Torah refers to it as meat that is between their teeth when they were killed, you see that even though it perhaps there's already some kind of chemical digestive process that's already breaking down the food, it's already been in your teeth for who knows how long, nevertheless it still has the halachic status, as Rashi apparently the Gemara is driving at, of meat. If that would be the case, so then to eat dairy in such a situation might be a violation of the Issa Darabonon, which is quoted later, actually in the next Amud, which the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch quote, that even though the Issa D'Oraisa was Savashal Gediba Chalayivimo, doesn't just mean that you can't cook. It also means that if you eat some meat and milk that was cooked together, that's one of the Issa D'Oraisa of Achila. But what if the meat was cooked independently and the milk was cooked independently, and then you put them together like a cheeseburger or something like that? So that is an Issa D'Rabbanan of eating. And this Gemara and this Pasuk is considered a proof text for that, that if you'll still have meat between your mouth, you may have a problem of eating dairy. That's...
What's the Gemara
asking the Gavi? This is the Shaila. Yeah, the Gavi, yeah, that's the context. That's the context of the Gemara. And in fact, that Isser the Rabbanon of eating meat and milk together, even when they weren't cooked together, because here the Gemara brings out the point of Basar Bein HaShinayim, the meat in the mouth. So this relates, and of course it's a perfect segue to a Gemara that is also on this same, very same Amud, which Mamish is the continuation of the Gemara. The Gemara then goes on to say, and this is what I want to be the primary focus of our shir, is the following. Mar Ukva, in very colorful language, and very humbly, describes the difference between him and his father. He says, Ana laha milsa, chala bar chamra lagabe abba. I'm like cheap vinegar or something like that compared to like the fine wine of my father. What? It's a way of saying that somehow my father does something better than I do. What is that? The ilu abba ki hava ochel bisra ha'idna lo hava ochel gvina adla mochar. My father would eat meat today. He wouldn't eat cheese. He wouldn't eat dairy until tomorrow. Point out, your stomach 24 hours perhaps, not just... You know, if you know, you eat at 11 o'clock at night, then at 7 in the next morning you'll eat. A whole day he waited, 24 hours. However, says Mar Ukva, the ilu ana, but me, I'm just the vinegar. What's pshat? I won't eat meat and milk in the same meal. But l'sudasa achrita achilna. But for another meal, the next meal, I would eat. We paskin like the sun. We pass them like the sun. It's important, Moser. Sometimes the sun is right. at least Mikra Din. There's a Midas Chassidus perhaps who like to follow her. But we paskin that Mikra Din, you don't have to wait a whole day in between meat and milk, but you do have to wait this Sudasa Achrina. But the question of what this means is a major debate, which I want to focus on. And the question more basically, and therefore first and foremost, is why? Why should there be this halacha? Again, and not that I'm going to be responding to the question as I'm framing it here, but just to sharpen it perhaps, when we, if we just said that meat that's not cooked with milk is already an Isur Darabanan, so we wouldn't necessarily think there'd be another gzera to prevent that one gzera. Again, it's almost, it sounds like a gzera, l'gzera. Don't eat milk after meat, because maybe you'll come to eat meat with milk, even though it wasn't cooked together, because what? Because maybe then you'll eat. That's already a little bit fun. So why are we doing this? Now, it happens to be I just picked up, it's a short piece only, I just picked up a new sefer, which I hadn't really had a chance to use yet, but I just picked up before the shiur to take a look, if you have something on the topic. Last year, they published Shiurei HaRav, which was, it's actually officially published by OU, the Masorah division of the OU, which is basically reworking and editing Rav Schechter's notes of Rav Soloveitchik's very famous Shiurim on Yeridei. Rav Soloveitchik, his Torah Anoshim and Nezikin, so some people love it, some people like it a little bit, some people love it a lot, but obviously many other great Rosh Hashivas said Shiurim on those Masechtas. But one of the things that was unique about Rav Soloveitchik was that he also said Shiurim on Masechtas that are halachos and other people did not. And one of the things he was very, very famous for, because it was, I don't, to my knowledge, there was nobody who was even remotely on his level who gave Yoredei Shurim in any yeshiva. His Yoredei Shurim in particular, therefore, were very, very famous. And in fact, recently, one of the sons who was learning Yoredei in Lakewood was all excited because he told me, even in Lakewood, they're all tumbling because they heard that this sefer had come out. This Torah was something that those who know were looking forward to. And the Rav Schechter's notes certainly are a good source. And one of Rav Schechter's premier Talmidim, Rav Yochum Koningsberg, very much worked on them to edit them and to add to them. So they have beautiful stuff. Ashchita, Malicha, Basar Bachalov, and Tarovis. So he has a little piece on this issue of waiting to mint milk. This is not going to be all our topic, but just to let you know, he actually suggests, perhaps in some of the Rishonim we're going to see momentarily, that a deeper issue, perhaps dividing Tosfos and Rambam, is whether you see this as just, if you will, an Isser Gavra. We're worried, this type of Xavier, as I kind of framed it already, we're worried if you'll come to eat them too close together, not that there's something inherently wrong with that, but that you might then come to eat them together, etc., etc., some type of a Harchokka and Isser Gavra. Or perhaps he suggests that the Rambam holds that it may be, in certain contexts, a Chefza of Isser. That you have that meat in your mouth, and then all of a sudden milk is mixing in there. Obviously, you didn't cook it together. You didn't even, quote, eat it together. But perhaps the Rambam, this would be a big chiddush, but even if they join together at that point, could perhaps create a chefza to Isura. So the advantage of the Rambam's shita, even though it's a big chiddush, would be then you don't have the gzera type of a problem. But again, I throw that out there just so you should be aware of it. But I really want to discuss some more basic practical questions. The first one I want to discuss is simply, why? Why? Again, the very practical question. What's the worry? What's the fear? What's the fear? And based on that, what nafkaminas perhaps could follow, chumras or kulas? When are there exceptions where you don't have to wait? And then I want to discuss the very, very, very basic question of how long do you have to wait? How long do you have to wait between meat and milk? The lashon of the Gemara here, which we seem to be following from our Ukva, is Sudasa Acharina. But the interpretation of that Sudasa Acharina has led to the, I guess you'd call them, four widespread customs that we're all familiar with. So hopefully we'll have time to get through all of that. So Rashi here says, the first reason we asked, why Taka, why is there such an Isser? Rashi says that the reason is because Mishum Devasar Motzi Shuman, meat is typically fatty, who nidbak bepeh, the fat may adhere to your teeth, your roof of your mouth, your cheeks, who knows, well longer than the meat itself is in your mouth. And what will happen from that? Mayrich betamo. You'll have the taste of meat lingering in your mouth when you're having your milkshake, when you're having your macaroni and cheese an hour later. That's the reason that there is an Isser. Therefore, wait. Again, we don't know yet how long, but wait. Sudas achrina, whatever that shear is. So that hopefully by then, even the shuman shenidbak papiv, even that residual fat, will have already been digested and removed from your mouth. The Rambam, however, The Rambam has a different reason entirely. When the Rambam quotes this halacha, and again, a smach for the Rambam is because it works better in the Hemshech of the Gemara. The Gemara never said anything about Shuman and Spat. What was the immediate context? From our Parsha, was pieces of meat, Basar Ben Ashinayim. And in fact, that's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says that the real fear is that actual meat, I mean, not just the residual taste, actual meat will get stuck in your teeth. Doesn't matter. The Rambam doesn't matter. Again, our Gemara was saying, if you know you have meat, what's the status of it? And the Rambam Shita is, the reason we wait is, even if you don't know, but we're chayish, maybe there's meat that's stuck in your teeth. And we know from the Gemara that meat, banishinayim, is status of basar, and therefore it's a problem, perhaps the Soloveitchik says, because the Rambam holds that it's some kind of a chassid disur. But we're not going to that final point now. That is a basic machlokas Rishonim. One of the more lomdasha tours you'll ever see is in the beginning of Simin Pei Tesed Yaradeya. The tour often quotes multiple shitas, but here the tour mamish spells out that this is a machlokas Rishonim, right? You mamish, you don't have to be a genius. If you want to say a nice shir on this topic, you just have to open up the tour. Well, hopefully say a little bit more than that. But you actually have a nice shir just by quoting the tour. Because the tour points out not only this machlokas, but the tour points out a two-way machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam, one Lakula, one Lachumra, which is Mamish. We're clearing what's the reason, and there are nafkaminas from both. And the Tur Mamish spells this out. So, for example, the Tur says as follows. The Rambam says that the reason that we have to wait in between meat and milk is because we're worried that the meat will get caught in your mouth. Therefore, says the Tur, two nafkaminas should follow. Number one is that once you have waited longer than 6 hours, even if there is meat in your teeth, there's no problem. There's no problem eating dairy. It only has the status for that short period of time, whatever that period is, but longer than that, it loses its status. On the other extreme, he says, let's say you just chewed up some meat, but never really swallowed. You chewed up very softly. Suppose you say you're chewing up a little chicken for the child or something like that. So then, perhaps, we have to be machmir, even though you didn't swallow it or anything like that, but according to the Rambam, will even be machmir, because listen, you did chew up a little bit, and if you chew up any time you chew, we have to be worried that some meat did get caught in. So no wonder we're going to be very machmir, even if you didn't swallow, because even by chewing, it's the mice of chewing, which could get the meat stuck in your teeth. On the other hand, apparently, if the meat is there, in theory, it could be that it won't be a problem if it's longer. However, says the tour, according to Rashi, we could come out with opposite conclusions in both regards. Number one, he says, if you really ate meat, even if we knew for sure, you actually ran to the dentist and he looked at you and he said empirically there is no meat in your teeth. So according to Rambam Lachar, there's no reason to wait. It's a whole thing. It's a chumra. Maybe there'll be meat, but you know there's no meat. Says the tour, but according to Rashi, it doesn't matter. It's not about the meat. It's about this more invisible taste which is adhering to your mouth. On the other hand, the Rashi will be makel where the Rambam was makel, where you're chewing up softly little meat for the child, but you didn't swallow it. Here the Tur says, and this is an axiom which the Tur posits, which is not obvious to me, the Tur says that this idea of the taste really being absorbed into your mouth is only if you swallow the meat, if you actually ate it. But just by chewing, this is what the Tur assumes, that Rashi would not have a reason to be machmir. Now, I might have thought you chew around for a minute or two, so there's already taste in your mouth if you don't swallow. But the Tur assumes, again, it's not explicitly in Rashi, the whole Rashi is five words. But the Tur holds that according to Rashi, then you would come out with a kula.
And so if you chew around and then you get some pieces stuck in your teeth. If you just chew it and don't swallow and get pieces stuck in your teeth.
Rashi would say there's no problem, says the Tur.
Even if it's pieces.
Yes, exactly. That's the Tur's suggestion. So if you were a Mekel, in L'cha'ora, we are talking about Isri Durabanan. L'cha'ora, you should be able to come up with two kulas. Number one is that according to the Rambam, when there's no meat in your mouth, you should be okay. And number two is according to the Rashi, if you just chew but don't swallow, whereas the Rambam might even choshesh for meat in your mouth, the Rashi says is going to assume to the Tur axiomatically there's no taste, and therefore you're okay. Those should be two kulas. If you know there's no meat in your mouth, or it's longer than 6 hours, on the one hand, and on secondly, if you just chewed but didn't swallow, l'cha'ora, according to the Tur's cheshbon, those are the two kulas from the two different shitas, and If it would be left up to me, I would have assumed, therefore, we have a right to be mekel, like those two kulas.
Why can't we appoint everybody to brush our teeth carefully and use mouthwash?
Well, they didn't have anything like that. Because they didn't have anything like that.
We have it today. I mean, no. It's everybody that should be okay.
Well, first of all, I don't know about you, but I've brushed my teeth and then found the next morning stuff in my mouth. That's for sure. That's for sure.
Nothing wrong with your dad.
He's not here. Huh? Of course. This one thing for sure all the dentists agree on. No. So we will get... So it happens to be, for example, right, if, Marshall, we hold, like if you have some kind of a cheese or dairy and then you're going to have meat, so we assume you should clean out. There are discussions, we'll see, we're going to see, there are some cases where maybe we'll be lenient and let you eat, if not right away, but in a shorter period of time than you otherwise would wait. Where some posts can say, well, if you're eating in a shorter period of time, then in those cases you should clean out your mouth. But again, it's not mouthwash, at least not sufficiently mouthwash. Again, they didn't have mouthwash, they had to come up with other ways. I don't think so. I mean, we do try, you know, even for fast days or other things, we do try to brush out our teeth. But we don't have this zera. I mean, what?
Oh, I mean, because the
isser
is a lot.
You're asking me, is there an isser, what, achilas chametz, if you have chametz left in your mouth?
I
don't know, but that's not this is a different, this is a topic of how long, you know, we're not going to say you have to, we don't say, right, you have to stop eating, but we do actually say you have to stop eating chametz earlier in the day. But it's not all this. It's not this din. Now, despite what I would have said, unfortunately for you, I'm not the Mechaber. Because the Tur already says, nevertheless, even though we're talking about Yisrael Darabanan, we're going to go like the Chumras of both. If he would have just said, we hold like Rashi, or like the Rambam, at least we could have gotten one Kula. But the Tur says we pretty much go like the Chumras of both. And in fact, without giving you the Razzle Dazzle, Lomdus and Rishonim, the Shulchan Aruch, in the beginning of Sfin Peites, just says explicitly, both of these chumras. Even if there's no meat in your mouth, and even if you just chewed but didn't swallow, in both cases, we are machmir. And the Taz points out, go back to the Tur, you'll understand where the Shulchan Aruch is coming from. We're machmir, these are the chumras of Rashi on the one hand, and the chumras of the Rambam on the other hand. Now, even within all these chumras, there are a few kulas. So if you take a look in the Prima Gadim, and this is also quoted by the Piskei Tshuva, discusses the following. We assume, halacha, that fat itself, if you would, let's say, take a delicious lamb chop or something, and there's a little fat on the side, so a real geschmack is to eat it together. But some people are like, let's say you cut off the fat. So you had no meat, it's just a piece, shtick, shove it, you just have a piece of fat. And you chew that, you're fleshy. You gotta wait. That the fat of meat has the same status, assuming you really were chewing it up and eating it like the rest of the meat, as the meat itself. However, says the Prima Gadim, let's say you were feeding a little schmaltz to the baby. But you're worried that it's, you want to break it up into smaller pieces. So you take a little bit of the fat, there's no meat, i.e. nothing to get caught in your teeth, and you just chew that up a little bit for the baby. Says the Prima Gadim, logically, everyone should hold its mutter. The Rashi holds, as long as you don't swallow something, it's mutter. And the Rambam, who are generally machmir-like, who says, well, if you just chew up the chicken or the meat, maybe some of that got stuck in your teeth, but that's not going to happen if you just chewing up some fat, there's nothing to get stuck. So the Prima Gadim says, logically, that should be a kula. But he wasn't ready to be mekel just yet. And he says, well, mestamo lo plug, we're not going to make such a fine distinction. Machmir zayin. But at least he's entertaining kulas. He's getting us back on track. What may be an actual kula? I had this as a shayla at the Purim Carnival in Shul. Where somebody did what I'm about to describe to you to a hot dog. Asked me, ran over to me, one of the teenager boys. Am I pleasure? What was the case? So the Shlomo Kluger has Hagos on the Prima Gadim, as also quoted by the Darkei Tshuva. The Darkei Tshuva, who knows who that was? The Munkacher Dayan. The Munkacher, not the Munkacher Ruv, that's the Minchas Luzer, but the Munkacher Dayan. And basically what he did was he made an updated Piskei Tshuva. Piskei Tshuva, right, Rav Eisenstadt. Also Hungarian, if I'm not mistaken, but the Piskei Tshuva put together again a liquid primarily of tshuvas, hence the name, but sometimes he had makaros which are not shaylos and tshuvas, but he can only go until he died. The Darkei Tshuva lived much more recently, and then he put together, he was a primary, although not exclusive, influence of the style and the location, the geography of where he was from and where he's holding, but it's a very, very important sefer in your idea. So the Darkei Tshuva also quotes this idea of the following kula. You get a munkacher kula, you got to call it a good day. So he says the following. What if you just taste the meat with a little bit with your tongue? Not that you chew it even a little bit, but don't swallow it. You just put a little bit on your tongue. You want to know, is it sweet? Does it need a little bit more salt? You just want to get a little taste. But they point this out, you know, there's some Sfarim who quote, there's a special mitzvah to taste the food on Erev Shabbos. To give it a taste. So what's pshat to taste? Because you want to make, they say, very prosaic. Because if you taste it on Erev Shabbos, then they'll make sure that it'll be delicious on Shabbos. So for that, all you need to do is taste a little bit with your tongue. You need to know, do you need to add more salt, do you need more pepper or garlic powder? So what if you just taste it with your tongue? You don't put it in your mouth, you don't chew it, you don't do anything. Says Rosh Shlomo Kluger, says the Dachri Tshuva, then it should be absolutely mutter. You didn't swallow it, you didn't chew it, you just taste it a little bit with your tongue, you spit it out after that, it should be mutter. You do not have to wait at all. They do say, some of the contemporary Sfarim do say, back in terms of what you guys were mentioning before, that perhaps in such a case, you probably should wash out your mouth. And there is smach for that based on Ramah, who's somewhat a different case. But maybe in such a case, if you want to really be machmir, it's got to be some chumrah, so we'll say wash out your mouth there. But for the most part, that would be a time where you did taste meat, you put it to your tongue, but if you didn't even swallow it, let alone chew it, you didn't chew it, let alone swallow it, so l'chora, we have a right to be makil. I'll give you one, two more kulas, and then we'll move on to the next topic.
Just want to bring everybody into the suffix, whether you waited or not.
I didn't get to that yet. I didn't get to that yet. And it's not according to everybody.
Nope.
Maybe it's Darshan Shlomatir and some poskim say. But we'll get to that perhaps. Says the Rama. This happens as a Shaila. You know, if I don't get this once every 2 or 3 weeks, you know, something's wrong. This is a classical Shaila. What if you're cooking spaghetti in a fleishcha pot? And let's even say that it's a benyomo pot. And then you eat the spaghetti. Can you have ice cream for dessert? You cook spaghetti or any other ma'echel parva in a fleishah chapat. Can you have ice cream for dessert? Since you only want to know the truth, it's for sure good that you want to hear the answer. No matter what the answer is, Joey. Says the Ramah, you do not have to wait. However, you should just know, the Ramah himself says later on, but such food, this is not our topic for tonight, you're not supposed to eat with that spaghetti you shouldn't melt cheese on. Although, if you melted the cheese and then called up the rabbi and said, uh-oh, we might be makel. Svardim are even more makel than Ashkenazim, such shailas of not barnat and things such as this, especially in Ben Yomo. But l'chachilo, even minag Ashkenaz, is to say don't eat it with the milk. But to have dairy for dessert afterwards, that the Ramah says is for sure okay. Which one? That you shouldn't eat it together? Or this one? The Ramah in our Simon Pei Test is the topic for tonight. Simon Pei Test if Gimel. Not in that case. The Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Shach have a bigger, just explaining that kula, say even if it's a sharp food. We know that sometimes if you have a Dover Charif, so that is Machaya that gives a renewed life to latent taste. So a Dover Charif and a Fleshach Pa, you'll say, oh, maybe that really is a Fleshach. The answer is maybe in certain halachas, but not Indian making you wait. Not Indian, it's still par food, and therefore you don't have to wait. Yes, this is the French fry question. So it depends. If you're cooking it in fleishich oil, then you have a problem. Tavshil shel basar is a problem. But if you're just cooking it in a fleishich pot, in a fleishich, you know, frying pan, in a fleishich oven, so then they're parf. You shouldn't eat them, you shouldn't put them on top of something. Is the oil fleishich or oil parf?
Let's say it would have to be
fleishich oil?
They threw it out, but I'm saying but then they used new oil to clean and put the french fries.
So the oil for the French fries is parf?
Yeah.
And it's just a place for the keli?
Yeah.
You can have milk for dessert.
Okay. Or you can eat the French fries even if you were
you definitely eat the French fries if you're milking already.
You can eat the French fries with pizza.
Yes. No, but again, it depends on what you got with. Not together, but you can have the pizza after the French fries. You have the pizza after the French fries. You shouldn't put the French fries on top of the pizza. A little self-control I have. Yeah, a little. a little. So let's mention one more kula, and then we'll move on to another topic. The next kula comes from a tshuva of Igros Moshe. Igros Moshe speaks about flesh and vitamins. I'm not exactly sure for what type of machala. Maybe some of you more know better than me. I don't think the purpose of the vitamin is to make you flesh. But there is, apparently it's made from some kind of a meat derivative. Says Rav Moshe, in such a case, it is a kula. I, Rav Moshe, he does entertain a svara to be machmir. What's a svara to be machmir? Because we just said, based on the chumrah that the Torah says from Rashi, even if you don't chew anything, if you just swallow it, which we're machmir on, although misvara, you could have said that's a nafka minhag in Rashi and the Rambam, without chewing, the Rambam certainly would be mekel, but Rashi held, if you swallow something, you have a taste. So I hear you swallowed a fleshach pill. Shouldn't that be like swallowing a piece of chicken without chewing it? Moshe asks that on himself. So he says, basically, without using such a strong language, Alan, but he basically says, chicken is the way you chew it. So the food that is chewed, and you swallowed it, we're still going to be machmir like Rashi. But something that the whole teva is that it's made to be swallowed, so this is the derech to take the medicine, but it's not ki hagav nalo tikna. This is not part of the gzera of Chazal. So we're not a fleishah soup, yeah, fleishah. That's between the medicine and the soup. Maybe there's no taste. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't remember. Anyone have an answer for Sulki? So maybe that's what I just suggested. But I don't know. I don't remember what Rav Moshe says.
Soup is in your mouth. Soup is in the vitamin.
So is
the vitamin? It's going right down. I mean, you're swallowing. It's not touching anything. Not tasting it.
So I think the taste is the issue. No, no, but Rav Moshe svara that if you didn't chew any. Right, I got your question. Sophie, please.
My question, Rav Moshe said he qualified the din as the reason that vitamins are okay is because you're swallowing it and not chewing it.
And this is something that the derech is, that's what you're supposed to do, right. As opposed to chicken, which you usually
chew. That's the most you swallow,
don't
you? Obviously,
it tastes
more, but
it's got it, I don't remember.
It's not the same swallowing.
But it has to be some kind of, obviously has to be some kind of chiluk like that. It has to be some kind of chiluk. It has to be worked out a little bit better.
Okay.
Anyway, I don't know how common this medication is, so I don't know. How practical this is an issue. Okay.
No.
Even one little piece of meat. No. Kazai is nothing. Good. Now let's move on to our second topic, which is how long do you have to wait? You're polishing for that pizza. How long do you have to wait? We assume that, yes. And that's not specified on that particular Nikud in the Gemara. We assume Nachad Rabbanon? Yes, we're Machmir. Yes, that's correct. Okay. How long do you have to wait? So again, the Lashon of the Gemara never told us exactly what. The Gemara says that this Mar Ukva, he wasn't such a great tzaddik like his father, and he only waited a Sudas Achrita, till the next meal. What does that mean? So, hence is the major Machlokes in the Rishonim. Now take a look at Tosfos here. Yibur Amachal Sudasa. Lav the Sudasa Sheragilin La'asos Achashakos Achas Arvis. It is not Pshat, which would be a more bigger Chumrah, says Tosfos. That, well, you only have Lechves, usually they had breakfast or some afternoon meal, and then hours later they had, let's say, dinner. So it doesn't mean that Merkva said if I had meat for one meal, for the early meal, I wouldn't eat meat as a snack during the day and only wait till then, and let arguments say, call that 3 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, whatever. But says Tosfos, the whole thing is a mistake. Rather, afilu la'alter, says Tosfos, it means you could even, it's nothing to do with time. There's no waiting. The whole concept of waiting does not exist for Tosfos. In theory, you could eat milk right away. What's the one proviso? In Sile Kashulchan Ubirach Mutter. Sudas Achrit is not a din in time. It's a din in breaking the meal. You shouldn't have fleishach and milchis in one meal. So if you'll have fleishachs, clean off the table. Maybe you'll throw in, wash out your mouth. Maybe not even. You'll throw, wash your mouth. You make a bracha achrona. whether that's benching, which is what Tosfos refers to, but the Shach says it would have been Bar Nefashos if that was appropriate, and then bring on the pizza, bring on the ice cream. You don't even have to wait 5 minutes, not 10 minutes, not 4 minutes. It's not a question of time. It just can't be done. So you have to have a hafsak, you have to break the meal. So for that, the bracha achrona and the cleaning off the table do it.
But if you had a 6-hour meal, then you would be mocked right there. If you were the same meal.
Correct. The flip side of that is that you could go 20 hours if you weren't mocked. That's correct. You have to break the meal. That's a good point, Alan. You have to break the meal. But as long as you do that, there's not a din in timing. It's a din in meals. Everything that you and I have ever been brought up to know about waiting, according to Tosfos, does not exist. That's the huge kula of the Baal Yatosfos. Hagos Hashri says this as well. However, this is debated by, most notably, the Rambam, but it's also the Rosh as well. And the Rambam comes along and says, what? The Rambam actually doesn't say anything. He may be getting at what Tosfos was rejecting, but he doesn't say that. The Rambam is the one who first introduced us to the issue of time. The Rambam's Rosh is, you have to wait, kamo Sheish shows. Rambam is the first person who introduces the notion of a 6-hour time limit, and in fact, the Lecha Mishnah and others after him want to know, where did the Rambam get it from? You growing up, you probably, everyone assumes that there must be some Gemara somewhere that tells you you have to wait 6 hours. It is not true. There is no Gemara anywhere. The Rambam made it up. The question is, where did the Rambam get it from? So there are different theories. And basically, the Lecha Mishnah and others who follow him put together the following theory, which is probably the best theory there is. And that is the following. Because Mar Ukva said the next meal. So maybe this is Allah, what Tosfos is referring to, people eat 2 meals a day. So Shailus, when did he eat his first meal? So there's a Gemara Masechta Shabbos and Daf Yud that says that Tamil Chachamim, which Mar Ukva was, ate their first meal in the 6th hour. So let's say it's a 6 to 6 day. So the first meal was at noon. And the next meal will be 6 hours later. Presumably it will be some in the evening. It's an estimation of when the next meal would be. That is the suggestion of the Lecha Mishnah. Nothing razzle-dazzle, no fancy lumdus. But it's just amazing. Where did he get it from? There's no Gemara. Where did he get it from? The 6 hours, that is his suggestion. How do we paskin? Again, the only days you have that are at least in the prominent Rishonim are no waiting time at all. Just bench and clear the table on one extreme. 6 hours on the other extreme. That's all you have in the main Rishonim. Comes along the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch paskins. Who would you expect him to pass like Rambam or Tosfos? Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch is Machmer Me'ikra Adin. You have to wait 6 hours. However, the Ramah is much more lenient. The Ramah mentions, it's a very complicated Ramah because he mentions all sorts of Minhagim here. So the Ramah mentions, for example, Tosfos. You just have to clear off the table. And that's what the Shach adds with the Bracha Achrona, even if it's not benching. Then says the Ramah, a bombshell, that the custom in his country, I don't know if he meant Poland in general or Krakow particularly, but the custom in his country is to wait 1 hour. That is Shita number 3, comes to us never before from the Ramah. Where did 1 hour come from? The Ramah doesn't tell us. He then adds off, but Tov Lahachmir for the 6 hours. So let's go backwards for a second. When the Ramah said Tov Lahachmir, so no, maybe some people would have, some people wouldn't. Lamaisa, if you'll take a look, the Taz and others quote a Maharshal that says, you gotta wait 6 hours. Then you'll take a look, the Shach, the Taz, the Chochmas Adam, and then the Aruch HaShulchan. Basically, anyone who is entertaining a havamina of a havamina that maybe one day someone should possibly ever think that they were from, of course has to wait 6 hours. And if you don't wait 6 hours, you might as well be the lowest of the low. There's nothing worse than someone who doesn't wait 6 hours. I'm telling you, it's like explodes on the scene. From a Rambam where we don't know what the mocker is, to the Ramah saying really it should be 1 hour, but okay, Tov Lahachmir for the 6. It's like mamash, a snowball that builds and builds and builds. Pritzas geder. Okay, maybe nevach, certain balabatim, you can't control them, but anyone with a Ruach Torah in them ever was a shemitz of a Ruach Torah. Of course. Has to keep the guys. A mamash, they come at you full blazing. Now, as a general methodological point, we know this, I've mentioned this other times in learning, you know, when Rishonim L'Achronim go overkill, it's usually because they're compensating. If there's a Beferish Gemara, you don't need to give all the overkill and hyperbole. The reason there's such hyperbole is because the source is so weak. That's just an academic point. Lamaisa doesn't change the fact that Kuli Alma Lo Pligi, for already a few hundred years, the Bnei Ashkenaz wait 6 hours. We've essentially adopted a leap, perhaps as a minhag, and because it's only a minhag, we'll see some kulas in a few minutes. I'll end with some kulas. But we have adopted Shitas HaRambam, even though according to Svardim often in Hilchos Kashrus are more mekel than Ashkenazim. I alluded to before the parav and the Kfei Shechapat in general. Svardim are more mekel on Nos and Tam, not Barnat, stuff like that. But in this case, the Svardim Mikra Adin are more machmir. The Svardim hold you have to wait 6 hours Mikra Adin. And Ashkenazim have adopted that custom. Let's get back now to Shkita number 3. It's a common, I don't know, it's like, you know, they each use different Lashonos. You have to, you take a look, I'll give you the marker. You look at the Aruch HaShulchan, you look at the Shach, and look at the Chachmas Adam, and you'll pick which one you think is sharper. But it's mamish, it's like a 3-4-5 lineup of the Yankees. I mean, like, how do you choose? It's mamish, killer's row. It's I can't make such decisions. I mean, the hyperbole is yes. Yes, but Lamaisa, this is different. This is a real halacha. This is not just Musar, this is a real halacha. Shita number 3. The Ramah told us this in Krakow, Poland, they're waiting 1 hour. Where did you get 1 hour from? What's 1 hour? It's not any Rishon that I know of. So if you take a look at the Taz, the Halakha Taz wants to be matzik and says, well, perhaps it's a Pshara. What's a Pshara? The Mikra, then Ashkenazim, the Ramah told us, told like Tosfos. According to Tosfos, you don't have to wait anything. You could just go right into benching and then turn around and put the pizza up on the table. But in order to be chayish, for those who say there's a concept called waiting, so we don't have 6 hours, leave that for the Sfardim. But perhaps that's where the idea, they kind of as a pshara, they threw in 1 hour. A token waiting to make the Sfardim, so to speak, the Rav Shitas HaRambam, I'm happy. But we're not going to go all six, because that's, you know, we hold Mikra than like Tosfos. You take a look at the Bir HaGra, not that I understand it exactly at all, but just so you should know, there's another Mokr for this. That's the well-known, most people will tell you where the Ramah come from, it's the pshara, and that's from a Taz. But the truth is, there is a Bir HaGra that says it's not from that at all, but there's a Zohar. I don't know, I barely understand the Gra, I'm certainly not going past that. But there's a Zohar that the Gra suggests that gives you the 1 hour. So I said before that the Ramah is the earliest source for one. If it's true that there's a Zohar, then I guess that predates.
But there,
I don't know if that's true, I just said that he quotes that that's the Mokr of the Ramah.
But the Ramah says the estimate should be 1 hour.
The Ramah says a lot of things. It's a complicated, like, there's three things. But it sounds, it sounds like the Ramah is saying, well, it sounds like he's tasking like Tosfos, but he says, v'medinoseinu 1 hour, shachas, that he does say. And he doesn't just say that it's a shita, he says that we do it. It sounds, if you had to ask me, my guess is that's a, you know, again, now the Ramah also adds the Tov L'Hachmir. So perhaps the Ramah himself did wait 6 hours, I don't know. It's not impossible to me, I wouldn't be scandalized if someone told me that Ramah only waited 1 hour. I'm just not sure. He does say Tov L'Hachmir, though. Once post Ramah is when the heavy guns come out with you know, the Ruach HaTorah, but the Ramah doesn't give you that hyperbole. So we have two shitas left. There's actually five shitas. What are the shitas we haven't yet mentioned? 3 hours and into the sixth. Whether it's 5 and 1 minute, which happens to be my personal shita, my family shita, or 5.5 hours. So where did these shitas come from? So perhaps none of them are in Rishonim, and perhaps there's Makar from Rishonim for both. Rav Avad Yosef has a tshuva where he's trying to figure out where this into the sixth thing comes from, and he doesn't like it at all. He's very, very down on it. Very, very down on it. But the truth is that the Masorah is that in the name of Reb Chaim, this was the Brisker Shita, and it's based on the Rambam. Because the Lashon HaRambam is Kamo Sheishos. And in fact, I think I mentioned this to you also in the past, you could argue that the earliest Mefarsh of the Rambam was the Meiri. The Meiri wrote on Shas. But the Meiri is very, very much influenced by the Rambam. In fact, I think it was the Machon Yerushalayim or somebody a number of years ago put out a sefer of the Meiri al Derech as a parish on Rambam. Meaning, I'll say to the Rambam, they gave you Meiri's, Mlaket from Shas, of Meiri's being Mefarish given Rambam. So it's a very big influence on the Meiri. And the Meiri also has a law show, not so much Kamoshe shows, but 6 hours and more, and you know, and something like he's also fudging a little bit with the six. But it's the Kamoshesh of the Rambam that some pick up on. Rav Avadya, who doesn't like it, any of this, says a Kabbalah Batash Asvara, which is his way of insulting it, namely that, well, they didn't have clocks, so they had their guesstimate about 6 hours, so since they could never be so precise, they just said, you know, anything around six will be okay. And therefore he doesn't like it. Yeah, but again, you know, did my elder Baba, did she know this from Chaim? I don't know if anyone knows exactly how it spread into different communities, but the best argument that's made for it, at least, seems to be the mucker of that Rambam. And again, there are major Gedol Yisrael throughout the ages who have held of this into the sixth, based on this diuk in the Rambam. What about 3 hours? That mamish seems to be from nowhere. From nowhere. Yet, one of the Halaga Kios Kedoshos, the Yekas, right, hold 3 hours. Holland Jews still hold one. The Dutch Jews still hold one. Until this Ad Hayom Hazeh. You're lucky you can make a shidduch with a Dutchman. But if you'll get the Yekas, so there are all sorts of things which may be not so great, but you'll get the 3 hours. And it's reminiscent that, you know, they say Rav Schwab used to say, you know, people used to like to go to Rav Schwab, to the Breuers for Slichas on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Because they have very short Slichas, even though we have incredibly long Slichas. But they have very long Slichas. And he said, you can only come to us on Erev Rosh Hashanah if you come back on Erev Yom Kippur. So, you know, like every community has some that are easier, some that are harder. So this is one of the benefits, sometimes, quote-unquote, you could have if you marry... Isaac Klein was telling me his daughter is engaged to a boy who was living in Israel, but the family is a real Yekesha family. So he's all, like, panicked about, like, what's going to happen to his family Yichus with now that his daughter, she's got 3 hours. He's put on a gartel to be masik the family Yichus in Minhug because his daughter is losing. I'm telling you, I'm saying it very seriously. I'm not making fun of all of this, but he told me. This is what he told me. His father died, and at the same time his daughter gets engaged to a Yekesh, she's going to be keeping 3 hours. What's going to be with the family Minhug? I got to start being masik v'idei avoseinu. So, you know, there's some things that change. But otherwise, where did it come from? If the Yekas were a bunch of unserious people, we probably would have written it off. It's a fascinating exercise. You know, this would be for an interesting academic study about the relationship between Minhag and Halacha. And often, it depends on who's being the Noheg. If there are people whose Yerushalayim in general, Shemir Samitzis, you respect, you're much more willing to either accept, let alone defend it. And if people who generally you don't respect Yerushalayim, then you would say, well, there's no mocker for it, you're not Yerushalayim, we'll get rid of you. We'll get rid of the Minhag. You know, this. But the given, again, it's no question, it's the force of the respect that the rest of the Torah world had for the Yekas, which is why somehow this became as an acceptable position, even though for generations there was no known mocker. So people recently have been struggling to find out what could possibly be such a mocker. And I'm running out of time, but just to make it short, there's a Darchei Tshuva that suggests something. It has to do perhaps with the following, that if you assume, like the Tosfos, that we're going to go, perhaps, not like Tosfos, excuse me, if you're going to go from meal to meal, so in the winter, days are short. Because the Talmud Chacham started his lunch at the sixth hour, but then it could be only, they suggest, 3 hours later till he wants to have dinner. Why only 3 hours later? So even though others have it not so clear, there's a L.E. Lassen showed me an article in Masorah Journal a number of years ago, Volume 8, Rabbi Grossman, I guess he works with OU, I'm not sure, doesn't give you a biography of him. He quotes another than our very own, Rabbi Heinemann, who has the following ta'ar. Again, it's not Rabbi Heinemann's own chiddush in the sense that it comes from a Darchei Tshuva and others. Not that they're talking about this minhag, but the yisod that perhaps winter day and longer and a summer day, that's already an earlier makaros. What Rabbi Heinemann added, apparently, as I can make out from this article, is a Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara in Yuma tells us, well, something that we all know, that food tastes better when you can see it. And if the Gemara there says, it's culinary advice, you should always eat during the daytime. It's a Gemara in Yuma. Funny Gemara, but it's a Gemara. So Rabbi Heinemann said, in light of this, Talmud Chacham Aruch was going to only start eating his first meal already by the sixth hour. But a short while later, in a winter month, it's already going to be dark, right? He's got to eat Shkia that starts getting dark. So he's got to eat then, and Be'erech, that could be 3 hours. So maybe you should say, well, in the you know, and there are some who do suggest, maybe Shazmanios, that you could be more machmir in the winter, in the summer than you would be in the winter. So the Rambam says, no, but you see from this, the very fact that a quarter or whatever, or a fifth of the year, you can eat even when it's only 3 hours, shows you that Mikra Din, we must hold that there is no taste left in the mouth, or the Nisachlu, the meat, or whatever. The fact that it's Mutter some months of the year must mean that, by definition, it's not a worry, and therefore, that's how that Minhag evolved, that even in the longer months of the year, in the summer, they allow it. That was a behind-him suggestion.
So, food tastes better.
No, you know, the suggestion is that's what Mar Okva was doing. The whole shaila is thinking back to Mar Okva. What did Mar Okva have in mind? So if Mar Okva had his earlier first meal in the sixth hour, let's say, then Mestama, he didn't wait. He could have eaten at 9 o'clock at night when it's very dark out. Like, I haven't eaten dinner yet, so I'm going to go. But, no, better when you can see it. Again, we can see our food anyway. But the point is, that's his connection. And it's earlier Makaros, but that's his additional connection. Let me just finish up to mention two more things. Number one is, recently, and a few years later, in the same Masorah journal, the Rabbi Grossman wrote a second article. I don't know who came up with it first. He credits someone else. I don't remember the name, but from Munsey. And if you look at Rabbi Forst's book in Hilchos Kashrus, he also quotes, I don't know who found it. But Lamaisa now, it seems to be Bavos, is that they've dug up a Rabbeinu Yerucham. The Rabbeinu Yerucham, a Rishon, it's already at least now we got back to Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yerucham does not explain so much exactly where it's coming from, but the Rabbeinu Yerucham has Beferish 3 hours. He says it black on white, 3 hours. And they write there in the Masorah Journal that when this guy from Munsey found it, he brought it to Rav Schwab, who was still alive, and the Mamish brought a big smile to his face, as Nachas Ruach, he was Matzik, the Breuer's Minog. So that's probably where that comes from. Let me just mention very quickly a few areas where we are Makil. Because again, whether you hold into the sixth or six full, which are obviously, that's generally the more widespread custom, the Minog Ashkenaz is to be minhag. It's a chumr like a minhag. But since it's not mikra, then like the svardim, perhaps there are some kulos. So for example, what if there's a chola? And then what if the chola, or Salvechik had a psak that Rabbi Jachter quotes, what if he's an ulcer, so he needs to have dairy, he needs to drink some milk or something for his ulcer. Or they speak about other types of medications and different things that you might need. Either the medication is milchik, or even if you just need to eat milchiks. So the Pesach Yeshua already quotes from a chasam sofer who's mekil. And the Aruch HaShulchan says that the reason in Peites, it's fine, the Aruch HaShulchan says it's exactly for this reason. Since Mikra Din, we hold like Tosfos. And even, if you'll say not like Tosfos, but okay, like the Ramah, what's the Ramah's Mikra Din? 1 hour. So that's what they say, assuming you can wait, says the Sefer Salvechik Pass in this way and others, you shouldn't do it right away, you should wait an hour.
Yes.
But if you're a Chola, you have to be categorized as a Chola at least. But if you're a Chola who needs this to treat your Choli, so then you wait an hour, perhaps you'll do a little kinuach, you wash your mouth out, but then you could have the milk. Happens to be interesting, even though the Aruch HaShulchan makes this tali in the kula of the Ashkenazim, Rav Avadi Yosef says even for Sfardim will be mekel. Even though they hold mikra din at 6 hours.
But
exactly. That's correct. Right. And to take you a parallel cousin, if you will, of a specific, of a more general chola, a specific example of Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld has a tshuva in his Salmas Chaim. He discusses a nursing woman. So if a nursing woman needs to replenish herself with milk, he also says an hour is okay, and then you could have, he puts this into the category of that Aruch HaShulchan. I'm late. Let me just finish, please. Chelkas Yaakov has a number of tshuvas about children. Chelkas Yaakov's basic maskana would be that a child under 9 who's just hungry, even if he's ready to do the chinuch. So ordinarily you would tell him, wait, you're into the six or six full, whatever it is. But if he's mamash is kalash and the kid's hungry, so since anyway it's only a minug for Ashkenazim, as long as he can wait an hour, then you can be lenient, says the Chalkas Yaakov, even up to 9 years old. After 9, that's already more serious, but at least up to 9. Another thing, what if, the Stechemet has a fascinating shaila, what if you forgot your fleshich and you made a bracha on milk or something like that? So you'll have a problem of bracha vatala. So if it's already after an hour, the Sechemet, of course, goes for a mekel. But you're not supposed to then keep on eating. And you still have to then continue waiting, whatever, you know, so you can at least take the bite, you can take a drink. It's just to get out of the bracha l'atala. It's not a way to have a whole meal. That's correct. And the Chavada suggests maybe even before 1 hour, perhaps, maybe even. But certainly after an hour would be okay. And finally, I wanted to mention a last issue, which is when does the clock start ticking? This is the big Shiloh Shabbos afternoon. When you finish eating what? Oh, so that's the machlokas. Yeah, the Dogel Mervava and others hold, it's when you finish the meal. So even if you go on for an hour dessert with the Zmiris and the Devei Torah, if you finish the main at 2 o'clock, even if you get off from the table from 3, you can start counting from 2. Joe, you like that? Why, that's a kula.
No.
You don't know. When you finish eating the meat, even if you stayed at the table another hour, but as long as you know when you finish eating meat, but the Aruch HaShulchan, of all people, the Aruch HaShulchan, who generally is a mekel, the Aruch HaShulchan is machmir on this. He says, no, it's not until you get up from the meal. But this generally is a das yachad, that Aruch HaShulchan. We're not machmir for it. And finally, Alan's... I'm sorry?
That could be Yisudas Lizard.
Yeah, no, why don't Kaf Chavos Tavis?
You could base it on Tavis.
Yeah, why he says that we understand, but the Maisel we're making against him. We're making against the Zerach Shochan. And then the last issue, which is Alan says, is another very common Shiloh, which is, especially if you want to generally think, well, when did I eat the meal? I know I got up to the meal at 4, but we were talking forever, and guests came over for desserts, and when did I finish eating the meat? So are you allowed to be makel on your suffix? So this is a very fascinating question. I don't want to necessarily be poshated now or analyze it, but just to mention it, mitzad echad, you'd say it's a suffix to Rabbanon, you should be able to be makel. But there are some poskim who are machmir, because it holds us a davar here shlom atirin. Stomach Darabonin is, if it's a zero-sum game, either you're going to have to do nothing or do something, and if it's a Darabonin, be Mekel. But you're still waiting an extra hour, what's the big deal? Darabonin Lamatirin, there's going to come a time, Rashi's Balabatish understanding of Darabonin Lamatirin, some post-scheme. So you just wait another hour. We're not going to be Mekel unless you have no choice. But if you can wait another hour, wait another hour. So I think that if you really, really can wait, it's a good thing to be Machmir on, but when there really are pressures not to wait, you can certainly be Mekel and go by the earlier clock starting. Have a good Shabbos.
Where's that?